Philippians 3 and 2 says, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." My subject today is beware of dogs. For the dogs of this generation are barking. They drool from deadly mouths. Blood-stained fangs threaten. Growls from the pits of hell can be heard in every dark alley of sin. Angry, ferocious, uncontrollable, rabid in their self-righteousness, biting mad in their hatred of holiness, unchained. They are roaming violent predators without conscience or moral restraint. No one can tell them different. No one can command these vicious gospel mutilators to heal or stay. They will devour in an instant. They will kill any vestige of authority in a moment. Truth will never tame them. Love will never lead them. Conviction will never corral them. They bark and bite and blaspheme and bitterly moan at any kind of fence or restriction or biblical standard. And this is because lawlessness is first of all the desire to do it your own way. Stubborn steps and rebellious routes, roads that lead to destruction, but all signs ignored because of pride and self-conceit. It is Cain bringing the fruit of flesh to a God that demanded blood and sacrifice. It is a generation that wants to save itself without a cross. They have altars with staircases into hell. They are stiff-necked and resistant to the commands of their fathers. You can't get them to see it God's way because they are blind leaders leading the blind, as Jesus questioned in Luke 6 and 39. Their perspective is so tainted that they can't tell when they are doing wrong, as Jeremiah bemoaned in Jeremiah 6 and 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. See, they have no shame. They see no guilt. Conviction is a dried up root, and the conscience is seared with a hot iron, as Paul stated in 1 Timothy 4 and 2. The story is told of the man walking down the street who dropped a quarter into the tin cup, being held out by a man wearing dark glasses and holding a sign reading, "Help the poor blind man." After taking a few steps, the donor turned around and was shocked to see the blind man remove his dark glasses and peer into the cup. The donor hurried back and angrily declared, "You're not blind." To which the blind man replied, "No, sir, I'm not. The blind man's on vacation and I'm just taking his place. I'm usually the deaf and dumb man on the next street." You see, most of us are much too gullible or too lazy to ask the right questions of those who make truth claims around us. For that reason, religious con artists, or dogs, if you will, find plenty of easy to convince targets for their fraud. It's important that every truth seeker possess a healthy dose of skepticism, because when it comes to issues of faith, we have a lot more than a quarter at stake. We have our souls at stake. We have to stand on the Word of God, and that Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. It's going to help us find direction. It's going to help us keep discernment. It's going to help us not to be tricked by the treachery that is around us, but to stand upon truth, to walk in the light and the projection of prophecy on every path that we take, knowing that there are stumbling blocks, knowing that there are snares, knowing wolves in sheep's clothing, that there are truly blind leaders of the blind, people that are getting conned out of their walk with God by following after some modern-day fable. Don't ever give up what you believe in the Word of God and Scripture for some fictional twist that comes along. They live in the seduction of everyone's doing it. For Judges 21:25 gives the stark closing statement of the book of Judges. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So they crowned themselves masters of truth, for truth is whatever they want it to be. They refuse the signs that point to death and destruction. For there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, Proverbs 14:12. He doesn't really care what the differences of the word are against his instincts to do wrong. He created the path. He will resolutely walk that path. Divine storms and heartbreak stress will not detour him. You can point him in a direction that would be far more prosperous and peaceful, but he won't take it. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise, Proverbs 12:15. But you can't counsel him on a better course. He will defiantly take the bumpy road and stubbornly go the way of transgressors that is hard, as the wise man in Proverbs 13:15 declared. I mean, why go the paved road of truth when the sinner can take the twisting, muddy lanes of selfishness and pride? These dogs are taking a hike to hell, and it's the greatest exercise of futility in all eternity. Secondly, lawlessness is the development of their own word. Who have said with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Psalm 12:4. You see, these dogs speak their own doctrines with spite. They have vitriol in their verses and stinging rebuke of pure things in their text. These dogs don't have to listen to anyone because they have their own code of conduct, their own brand of communication, their own translations of society and tolerance and love and freedom. This is certainly not the following of a Pied Piper, if you will. Contrarily, they are all Pied Pipers, leading no one but themselves in the end to the ledges of eternity without God. They make up their own instructions for humanistic inventions of thought and theory. Think of it this way. You can have a laboratory where experiments are done for the betterment of mankind, a lab where cures and medicinal discoveries are made. Science is challenged and stretched and tenaciously studied to come up with the best remedies for Earth's toughest ailments. In these kinds of labs, it generally takes about 5 years of clinical trials and registrations just to get approval, and then another 5 to 10 years to get it to scale for mass distribution. It can take 12 to 15 years just to discover new medicine. And all this study and experimentation is to do something good. But then you have meth labs, and it doesn't take much to throw one of these together. I mean, if you're going to just have some kind of thing thrown together in a garage or storage unit or someone's basement, I mean, these kinds of labs are for man's vulnerabilities. It's for his addictions and destructive weaknesses. 2 Timothy 2:18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. I mean, people are going to choose error because it lets them look good and feel good. People are going to choose darkness rather than the light because they get to make up the rules as they go, rules that redefine righteousness however they want to define it. I mean, just make up the words. Pin your own random thoughts influenced by extortion and lies. Shift the boundaries whenever needed. Move the landmarks. Change the reference points. Reinvent and reframe history. Retell the stories even of the Bible with twisted ideas and sin-permissive conclusions. Who cares? Who's keeping track in the dark? Who's exposing sin to be sin when everyone is steering their own course of faith and logic? You see, these people, they stumble on their own ideas. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. 1 Peter 2:8. This is where one bad idea can destroy a powerful theology. It's the little leaven of the Pharisees that leaveneth the whole lump. Bread swells because leaven is added, and human thoughts can swell because they may have fancy words and outlandish predictions and perceptions and humanly inventive lifestyles. And you can fill a balloon with air and stretch that balloon and make it look big and swollen to a massive size. But there's nothing there. Hence the proverbial full of hot air comes to mind. But there's no substance. There's no follow through. There's no accountability because they are developing their own word, their own doctrines, their own lifestyles. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So they choose fiction over faith, a doctrine based on human want rather than divine understanding." I mean, I liked fairy tales as a kid, but I didn't make doctrines and life decisions based on them. People are living a fairy tale, my friend, if they think they can live in sin, reject truth, and walk in any direction they want to walk without eternal consequences. The Bible still tells us that it's appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. You can't just wish it away. You can't just erase eternal boundaries of the Word of God or replace them with myths of human aspirations. These myth seekers and fiction writers of new religions are not rightly dividing the word of truth as Paul instructed Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15. They are in fact merely taking a piece and blending it in with whatever makes them feel better about the error they choose. And thirdly, lawlessness is the destruction of God's perfect will. Romans 12:2 said, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now think of the perfect will of God as a healthy crop in your field. Nourishing vegetables grow, fruit abounds, food that sustains life ripens over time, and what should be reaped and stored in barns for daily meals is suddenly burned away by a wicked fire. The stalks are burnt, the fruit is ruined, the grain is lost, the vegetables are left in ashes, and there's nothing to eat, nothing for meals to feed the family. Well, dogs who despise doctrine destroy the truths that would sustain us. Our society is sick with disrespect because they took prayer out of schools. Abortion clinics make well over $1 billion annually in America. The perfect will of God for mankind has become a burning field set aflame by false teachers and perverted rebels. They tear down monuments that speak of the Ten Commandments and erect statues worshiping Lucifer. Many would rather use the name of Jesus as a byword or in their vulgarity than to humble themselves and pray in that same name. That name that would bring them happiness. That name that would bring them true prosperity. That name that would put them in a sacred place, in a safe place, and they treat it with such sacrilege and disregard. Philippians 3:17 said, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Destruction is going to come to those who mind earthly things. Destruction is the end of those who reject the counsel of God. It's like they take a chainsaw and cut the cross of Christ down, removing it from their version of Scripture, eliminating the purpose of redemption in their own plots to control society and human governments. They are conformed, shaped in thought by godless professors, molded in action and behavior by atheists and humanists who mock the Bible. They listen to self-help gurus with secret formulas for success and wealth while tossing the Word of God on a trash heap. They listen to foul-mouthed pundits fighting for earthly things and yet turn their backs on holy men of God who would tell them of heavenly things. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Things work out when we do them God's way, when we live according to His purpose, when we live according to His plan. It's like having a perfect blueprint to build a sturdy home that will survive stormy conditions. But when that blueprint is torn up and tossed away, demonically inspired improvisations build something far inferior, something that may momentarily look good, but won't be strong in the tribulation storms. All things work together when you have the purpose of God, but nothing works out in the end when you resist the Maker. Isaiah 29:16, surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? So when we reject the hand of God upon our lives, we often then settle for the hammer of earthly disappointment. And that comes with crushing defeats, sudden blows of trauma and tragic setbacks. I mean, why be crushed when you could let God put your life together? Why be a follower of thoughts and ideas and false theologies that would lead you down the wrong path and have you exhaust all your resources on something that won't work, that won't last? Trust God. Pray to God. Seek His face. Humble yourself before Him. He'll give you favor and He'll give you fruitfulness. Tell the potter that you want to surrender to His hand. Let His hand make you the best you available. He has the blueprint to make the most successful you. He has the inside information on the most powerful you. He has the ingredients for the right recipe of life that fits you the very best. Don't be a cloud without water. Become the clay in the Master's hand. See what you can become. See how life can evolve from blessing to blessing. Something that lasts. Something that is everlasting. Something that is not just here today and gone tomorrow. So walk in His counsel to a better end. Trust His omniscience. Let God help solve the mystery of your tomorrow, because He's the only one who can truly see it. Lawlessness is where they disciple others to their own worship. Galatians 6:12, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. You see, Paul was dealing with Judaizers who wanted control of the congregations. They wanted to shape them after their own laws and creeds. Even more sinister than that, they wanted to glory in their flesh. This means that they would be on a pedestal of power, receiving men's praise because of human works. And the apostle called that wicked. Paul tearfully warned Ephesian elders in Acts 20 that some among them would draw disciples after them, speaking perverse things. So these dogs, these false teachers, would attract people to themselves to create their own theologies and to be esteemed as elders, praised and promoted. Some will feel that they have a superior knowledge and that all other inferiors need to ascend to where they dwell. Some go further than that and feel they are the Messiah incarnate. As Jesus warned in Matthew 24, that many will come in His name and say that Christ is here and Christ is there. You see, self-deception becomes the impetus for delusions of grandeur. Nothing new as it pertains to Lucifer. I mean, he wanted to be equal with God. He wanted a throne above the mountain of authority. He wanted more than he could attain or accomplish, because only God can be God. His glory He will not give to another, according to Isaiah 42:8. Men of earth try to take it. Even angels left their first estate trying to be something more than what they were created to do and authorized to perform. I mean, just to name a few of these in our modern history, there was Claude Varillin, known as the Rael Messenger of Elohim. Born in 1946, he's a French professional test driver and former car journalist who became a founder and a leader of the UFO religion, the Rael Movement, in 1972. And they taught that life on Earth was scientifically created by a species of extraterrestrials, which they called Elohim. And so he claimed that he met an extraterrestrial humanoid in 1973 and became the Messiah. And then he devoted himself to the task that he said he was given by his biological father, an extraterrestrial named Yahweh. Then you have Jose Luis de Jesus, who was a founder and leader of Growing in Grace International Ministries. It was based in Miami, Florida. He claimed to be both Jesus Christ returned and the Antichrist, and exhibited a 666 tattoo on his forearm. He referred to himself as Jesucristo Hombre, which translated to Jesus Christ made man. Well, the only problem with this individual is that he died in 2013. So I guess he figured out he wasn't the Messiah. And there are many others like David Koresh, the leader of the Branch Davidians, who was killed in 1993. Brian David Mitchell of Salt Lake City, Utah, who believed he was a foreordained angel born on earth to be the Davidic servant to prepare for that divinely led kingdom of Israel in preparation for Christ's second return. And many, many others who claim to be the Messiah on earth, but they're really just false teachers. But these men pleasers and false prophets will have their day in judgment, because number five, lawlessness brings us to those who are deserving of God's wrath. 1 Thessalonians 2:14, for ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. My friend, judgment is coming to all those through time who twisted, perverted, bent, and broke, deceived, destroyed, mocked, and mishandled the truth. A reckoning will come for every rebel, a day of dread for every doctrine of devils. At that time, they won't be able to change the outcome, or beg for mercy, or chase away the righteous ruler with a rod of iron. They won't be able to hide in a cave, and even if the rocks would fall on them, they will still stand before the God of the Bible and give an answer for their lies. Lies that were spoken. Lies that led others to be lost. Lies that rearranged signs to mislead and misguide. Lies that empowered flesh and weakened the spirit. Lies that built altars for strange fires. Lies that made perpetrators look like princes and innocent men be murdered. Lies that will come to account in the great court of all gods. Oh, my friend, you need to humble yourself today before the Lord if you don't know him. Seek his face while he may be found. Call upon him. Repent of your sins. Make an about face. Surrender your will to the will of God. Choose his path, because it's a path of righteousness and tremendous reward. Don't settle for lawlessness when you can have light and liberty and the love of God, when your life can abound in the blessings of the Lord by simply surrendering and submitting to the Word of God as a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. In Jesus' name.